Good evening, friends, and welcome to this worship service. It's good to be together tonight, and I thank you for your presence. Just one announcement before we begin. Due to the increasing traffic, we've made a decision to move this service to begin at 6:30 instead of 6, and that'll start on September 4th, 6:30 instead of 6. And the aim will be to conclude the service by 7:15. So hopefully that'll be helpful to everyone. Tonight we will hear a reminder from Jesus about how to be in relationship with other people, especially when they've hurt you, and how to listen and when someone is telling you how you've hurt them, and how to tell someone that they've hurt you. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to bless our time together tonight, in the silence and through Scripture and sacrament.
And staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Deuteronomy Chapter 34. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the headland of Pisgah, which faces Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead and as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, the circuit of the Jordan, with the lowlands at Jericho, city of palms, and as far as Zoar. The Lord then said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would give to their descendants. I have let you feast your eyes upon it, but you shall not cross over." So there in the land of Moab, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died as the Lord had said, and he was buried in the ravine opposite Bethpeor in the land of Moab. But to this day, no one knows the place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. For 30 days, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab, till they had completed the period of grief and mourning for Moses. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, since Moses had laid his hands upon him, and so the children of Israel gave him their obedience, thus carrying out the Lord's command to Moses. Since then no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He had no equal in all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and against all his land. And for the might and the terrifying power that Moses exhibited in the sight of all Israel. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Bless our God, you peoples. Loudly sound his praise. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appeal to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
We'll focus on the instructions Jesus gives on dealing with someone who's hurt us, hurt you, hurt me, and the invitation to go and talk to them personally. This is perhaps a hard step for most of us in dealing with our conflict. And if we think about it, there are many reasons why we hem and we haw, or are reluctant to go and talk to the person who has offended us. The first reason that comes to mind is one of simple fear, and that we are afraid of what would happen if we told the truth, if we really admitted how we felt, or how we had felt hurt. And so fear keeps us from communicating to another person the truth that they have offended us. Another reason is that we are lazy, and it's uncomfortable to be in a situation, and so we're rather put up with the fact that we feel these negative emotions than do anything about it. So fear and laziness or lack of motivation become two of the main reasons I've seen in my own life. There's a third thing that comes up that is kind of a pseudo-spirituality, wanting to keep the peace. And that's one of the main reasons why we don't ever really say straight how we feel. We tell sideways comments, perhaps. It comes out in passive-aggressive ways that, you know, the person can pick up on that something's wrong. Are you okay? Is something the matter? And, oh, no, nothing, everything's fine. And this kind of wanting to keep the peace is a part of the process that we experience, I think, in dealing with conflict or feeling hurt. So it's very amazing that Jesus starts out this teaching by saying, go and talk to the person. It seems so straightforward. But I think it acknowledges a human truth that's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not easy at all for most people. And that's why I think someone like Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication process has been so powerful and useful. And because it gives us a pathway to communicate in a nonviolent, non-aggressive way. When you did this, I felt this. Could you please do this next time, or whatever it is? And that process is very useful in the one-on-one situations. The next level of inner interaction is very useful, and it's what we would call second line in this community, and that's the beauty of our brothers and sisters in a small group setting talking to this person that has offended or is a part of the dynamic. And what I find to be interesting here is that this acknowledges the fact that if you are afraid, that others can sometimes help bolster the courage to be witness bearers to what you have experienced or are feeling or going through. The downside of these sorts of ambushes is that they can feel like an ambush to the other person. They can feel shaming. They can feel trapped. They can feel judged. They can feel unsafe. So that becomes part of the risk and also the responsibility of bringing two or three or four people into a situation. Number one, they don't need to know everything, but number two, they are going to know something, and that can be problematic and shaming for the person. So it requires a degree of love for it to work, and humility for it to work. Love and humility to be present to the person in a non-judgmental way, not trying to fix them, but to bear witness for the other person who's been offended and to be with them in that way and not attack the person. And then the third level of response is to get the whole church involved, which is a really fascinating thing to think about in terms of our modern day experience of church. And what would that look like? How would that be? And I think the principle here is more, not so much everybody, but perhaps the principle is the spiritual leaders, the community of leaders who can speak into a situation. And perhaps that's a better way of perceiving this invitation to bring it out into the public. But even Jesus is quite severe here in that there is a fourth level of response, and that's essentially just to wash your hands of the situation and cut the person off. Treat them like a tax collector. In other words, treat them as if they're not one of you, your community. They don't deserve your effort. Just cut them off. And that's a very significant and, in many cases, appropriate response, especially when we're dealing with dysfunction or violence or abusive person or personality, that there is a point where there is a boundary of appropriateness, and that boundary isn't severe or mean. It's actually a grace that protects the environment of the community and the relationships. It stands for love, not judgment. And that is saying no is a strength to someone who keeps violating or is unwilling to have any kind of compunction of heart or even sense of awareness of their impact on the other person. They may not agree, but at least they can become aware of the fact that their words or their behavior has impacted. So now let's take it to a little more personal level and shift it more from the social setting, which is an interesting dynamic in any community or any family or in any relationship, and let's bring it more in toward the interior level, the spiritual level. And let us think of this in terms of the deepening integrity of our own honesty about ourselves. And this is really important because when we are just alone by ourselves, there is a certain level of integrity that we have, and we have a degree of responsibility to ourselves. But sometimes we need more support to keep growing or keep developing. It's very simple. For example, sometimes we need support exercising, and it's easier to work out in a group than to get up in the morning and work out on yourself. So we can see that dimension of we do our own inner work on ourselves, but sometimes we need help, support. Sometimes we need the encouragement of another person and bring them in to help us grow inwardly and spiritually. I was talking to Tim Cook recently, and he said the only way he made it was by talking to Father Thomas and Bernadette, and they became his spiritual friends that accompanied him on the journey. And I think that that's a very wise principle, is to have friends that you can talk to that can speak into our lives and be honest with us and help us confront ourselves and work on ourselves. Because when we're just working on ourselves, that first line, it can only go so deep. You get step into the second line ring where someone else is speaking a truth into your life, and it's oftentimes very hard to see yourself, to see ourselves as other people see us. So the third level of inner development and confrontation of the self is really the recognition that it takes a community to develop, and that it's easy to grow stagnant in one's spiritual community. And so the recognition that to keep growing, we must keep drawing on different resources, different influences that speak into our lives. And that represents the communion of saints, or the community, the wider community, or the conscious circle of humanity in work terms, that speak into us and keep us fertilized, keep us growing in a significant way. So inwardly, we can apply these principles that Jesus speaks about for our own life, as well as socially and relationally. And you might just explore where you feel the pinch. Perhaps it's easy for you to confront someone. Perhaps it's not easy for you to ask help from someone to go and confront someone or speak to someone or deal with something or ask questions or discern something. And perhaps you're a lone ranger. Perhaps it's easy for you to gossip and tell everyone versus just following the steps of just one-on-one. Whatever it might be, each of us can discern where the pinch is for us socially and also inwardly. And just one connection point to the Old Testament reading of Moses, because it's a reminder to all of us that our behavior has consequences. And we oftentimes are content with allowing relationships to kind of grow sour or become distant or cut off. And our dynamic with these relationships has consequences in our families and our relationships. And Moses also had consequences with his lack of faith and his unwillingness to confront the people and deal with the family system issues. And he was not able to enter into the promised land. He only got to see it. So there's a real sense of we reap what we sow, and that we must deal with the consequences and to take action in our lives to do something about it, so that we don't have to deal with the consequences unconsciously or so you might say lazily, that we just let things be as they be and not do anything about it, not take personal responsibility. There's a price to be paid for everything we say and everything that we don't say. There's a price to be paid for everything that we do inwardly in our spiritual journeys, and also everything that we don't do. And how those are measured and how that is experienced is really quite personal. Really, Moses is responsible for the fact that he couldn't enter into the promised land, and yet he was able to see it. And so it's a very personal thing. And it didn't impact Joshua in the same way. And it won't. Our suffering won't impact others in the way it impacts us. So it's very pinpoint precision opportunities for all of us to grow and to keep asking for help, to be socially or relationally clean with our people that we have conflict with, to communicate honestly, to draw upon the resources of the work in our community, and also to continue to deepen our own commitment to the three lines of the work, the line of work on oneself, the line on work with other people, and that larger community work that impacts so many in so many different ways, work for the sake of the work, or work for the sake of consciousness on our planet. And if we're doing that individually, it's going to naturally bear fruit socially. And so everything that we do has an impact. We may not be able to see it, but we can feel the difference inwardly when we're carrying a grudge around or not, when we've forgiven or not, when we've communicated truthfully without an edge or not, and that bitter taste that comes after spewing something instead of just rationally articulating in a nonviolent way. So it's an opportunity for all of us to explore where our words are being wise or where they're being hurtful in our relationships. And it's humbling, but it's also a great opportunity to grow because the relationship, especially a conflicted one, becomes a beautiful mirror to see our own need for growth. Amen. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit strengthen each of us to listen when people confront us, and to have the courage to speak when we have been wounded. Amen.